Tribune Tower, Chicago. This is Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Hi, Mr. Cap. Hey, Ms. Coughlin. Good morning, Brooke. How are you?
Good morning.
Adam Hoge, Jen Latta filling in. Last hour of the week. Cap and Haw back with you next week as they return from Arizona. But joining us right now from Arizona is David Haw. Hi, David. How are you?
Morning, Adam. Morning, Jen. Doing fine. Getting ready to head over to the Cubs and Sox playing each other, which is convenient for everybody here today.
Yes, it is. And I want to get to that game in a second because there are some good storylines there with that one. I think on a Friday afternoon, that's one I'm definitely going to tune into. And as we try to get used to these teams right before getting closer to opening day. But I want to start, David, with your column in the Chicago Tribune today. It was a good one for sure. Micah Johnson, I have found this guy fascinating since he joined our weekend show, maybe a month and a half ago. It was during Sox convention. But just talking to him, you could tell he's a little different, and different in a good way, though. And you outlined this very well in your column today. What was it like talking to him, and can you just kind of explain how he is different?
Thanks. You know, you look for these guys who kind of connect on different levels and are not cliches. Micah Johnson is going to be a very popular man in Chicago if he sticks with the Sox. People are going to love his personality. He is different, as you point out. This is a guy who, as I wrote about this morning, had never really didn't have a conventional childhood in that it wasn't consumed by video games, television, and doing things that typical kids do and maybe overcome. He was brought up in a home that he learned how to speak Spanish fluently by the age of 7. He learned French. He was exposed to art. He paints to relax. He learned the guitar. He plays classical piano. When he goes up to each at bat to calm himself down, because he's a pretty intense competitor, he remembers the lyrics to a Christian song, a Christian rock band that he has come to follow. He's got a model as a girlfriend that travels the world. He's got a lot of things about him that make him, sure, he has to hit, he has to defend, he has to play the field, and he has to steal bases. But if he sticks, there are a lot of things about Micah Johnson, the individual, that Sox fans are going to gravitate toward, and he could be a star in Chicago because he's exciting to watch, Adam. I think that you get a glimpse of that. You see how he goes to left field. You see how he goes the opposite way. He's pretty diligent. And then when he runs, he's clocked at a 4.440. This is a guy with elite speed and just a fun prospect, because it also just reminds people that, the Cubs haven't cornered the market on young, exciting prospects in Chicago.
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing, and there were a lot of things in your column about Micah Johnson, was that when pressed, Kenny Williams still described him first and foremost as a competitor. Clearly important, obviously, for the team. But the big question has been whether or not he's going to stick. Do you see him making this club out of camp?
Yeah, I do. I think that, again, they may have reasons to go Carlos Sanchez, or maybe the veteran route with Gordon Beckham, who was actually good to catch up with this week, too. He's just a great guy to have around. Bonifacio gives them some options. But, you're the Sox, and you're a team that has legitimate reason to feel like you can contend. What makes you different? Well, speed. The speed that he offers gives you an element that you cannot duplicate. And if he can hit as well, even close to as well, in the regular season once it begins, as he has in spring training, then he's a guy that you can, I think, accept the risk defensively at second base. It's not ideal, Jen. You want him to be the guy that, removes the doubt, but not every prospect is perfect. And right now, Micah Johnson's shortcomings are defensively. Offensively, I think it's worthwhile to kind of, sacrifice that, because he does give you something you don't have from anybody else. So I wouldn't be shocked if he is your opening day starter at second base, that they are still evaluating that process. They haven't really tipped their hand too much. He got a couple days off after having a rough game defensively. He's a confident young man, though. I mean, that's the one thing that does strike you, and sometimes his confidence can be confused as cockiness. But I think there's a fine line there. And when Kenny said competitor, it just speaks to what kind of athlete this always has been. a guy who everything that he's tried to do, he's done. Everything that he's every goal that he's set for himself, he's reached. And now his goal is to be in the opening day lineup on second base, and it sure wouldn't shock me.
He's David Haugh joining us from Arizona right now. We'll be back on the program Monday. Right now it's Adam Hogue and Jen Latta filling in. David, as you got more face time with Joe Maddon this week, did you learn anything new about him, or is he sort of the guy that a lot of people have been making him out to be so far this offseason?
Well, you know, the one thing that's interesting, Adam, you know, the one thing I think it is careful not to overlook, and I might write about this for tomorrow, is that, you know, we do make a big deal in the media about how he's funny. You know, he's disarming, he's charming, and he, you know, the shaving the heads is great for unity, and the anecdotes he tells is great for levity. And all of these things are great for establishing an atmosphere. But you know what I sense? This is a team that's finally serious about winning, and they have a legitimate chance to win. And you don't get any sense from Joe Maddon that anyone's messing around. This isn't the Evening at the Improv. This is definitely an atmosphere conducive to competition. It's certainly a manager who's more compelling and interesting than his predecessors. But I don't think that you get the sense that this is just, you know, Joe Maddon's comedy act. And I think that that's the one thing you don't want to, you know, assume that just because he's a funny guy and compelling, that they're not more serious about winning than they ever have been in the Theo Epstein regime. And I think that you saw a glimpse of that when, you know, we talked the other day about the Edwin Jackson getting lost and, you know, Google Maps and ha-ha, and isn't that funny? And you know, it was funny, and it was worth sort of poking fun at. Joe Maddon didn't like it. And I think that reminded you that this is a guy that has won, knows what it takes to win, and knows where the line is drawn between having fun and getting serious about, you know, your profession. And you're here not to make jokes, you're here to win games. And I think that he certainly has established himself, and nothing surprised me this week. And he's the right man for the job and worth all the fuss and all the hype and all the attention we've given him.
You surprised at all that there hasn't been more talk about Carlos Rodon making the opening day roster? Has that all been sucked up by Chris Bryant on the other side of town?
A little bit, and I think that's a good observation. Some of it's a product of, you know, the inevitable, you know, the Sox sort of get overlooked, and no matter how good your prospects are, the Cubs kind of, especially when you have a guy like Chris Bryant, kind of swallow up all the attention. Carlos Rodon's situation could be slightly different. I think that you can look at some ways with a pitcher that you can buy some time midseason. If he starts on the major league roster opening day, around the All-Star break, it's been done before where a guy will be sent down before the break, skip a start, brought back after, and then his service time, voila, it still is, you know, short of 1 year by a couple of days. I think maybe the Tigers did that with Porcello a couple of years back. So I think the controversy has been less obvious with Carlos Rodon, but as you saw the other night against the Royals, oh my goodness, I'm not sure the hype should be any less. I mean, yes, Chris Bryant is going to be what he looks like a once-in-a-generation type of player. Carlos Rodon looks, if not that great, just one small level below it, because he is blowing people away at times when he looks like much more polished than a rookie who would be making his Major League debut whenever he makes it and has yet to pitch an inning of Major League Baseball. So there's excitement. There's not the controversy because there hasn't been. There are maybe more loopholes that they could be exposed with a pitcher than a position player. But I think that it just, you know, this afternoon, they'll both be, you know, they're not, obviously Rodon pitched the other night, but you'll see glimpses of this young talent, Micah Johnson and Rodon with the Sox, Chris Bryant and all his friends with the Cubs. And, you know, like we said the other day, baseball looms is not a threat anymore in Chicago. You get pretty excited about opening day right around the corner.
Hey, Dave, what was your reaction to Theo Epstein expressing some disappointment that Scott Boras never called him about the Chris Bryant decision?
Well, good for him. I mean, I think everybody has their limit, Karma. I don't know that, you know, maybe slightly surprising. Theo picks his spots. He knows exactly, you know, strategic with him. He knows the audience he's speaking to. He knows the questions he's going to get from the people who are asking them. And I think that when you look at the way that he chose to, you know, convey that, it's pretty tactical. I don't blame him. This is definitely a public discourse, something that is, you know, got to be He knows how the game is played. And it also, I think, speaks to just how the Cubs, what we talked about just a couple minutes ago, they're serious about their approach here. They're not going to be pushed around. They're not going to be bullied by an agent. And he wants everybody to recognize that. So I didn't have a big problem about it. I don't think it was personal. And I think that he had a valid point. If I have an agent like Boris, as respected as he is and, you know, as good as he is for his clients, he's not necessarily the villain here, but, you know, have some decency to pick up the phone and call him before he's calling all his friends in the media to kind of get his message across.
Dave, I want to switch gears a little bit. You had a great column on Mike Bray earlier in the week, and what a week it's been for Notre Dame. I mean, to start off with Mike's mother dying last Saturday in the morning, going on to beat Butler that night, then advance all the way to the Elite Eight with a win last night against Wichita State, a convincing win. What has been just your reaction to really the week and honestly the last 3 weeks that Notre Dame has had, because it's been quite a run?
It has been, Adam, and it's great for a guy that deserves all the attention he's getting. You feel for him what he's going through. As I wrote, you know, everybody knows by now the story of his mom passing away the morning that they played Butler. And, you know, I've been friends with Mike Bray for 15 years, and he's always been the same guy. And you root for people, and you root for good things to happen to good people. And there's none better in college basketball than Mike Bray. So last night when you saw how they responded to, you know, Wichita State takes a one-point lead, it lasted all of 12 seconds, and Notre Dame comes out firing. And at 75% from the field in the second half. Look, I know it's probably not going to happen. I know it's probably unlikely to happen. I'm not going to predict it will happen. But a team that can shoot 75% for one half of an Elite Eight game or a Sweet 16 game, to get into the Elite Eight, that's the kind of team that could beat a Kentucky if Kentucky struggles. So I'm not going to say that they can, but of all the teams in the tournament, Notre Dame really, once the brackets were out, were one of those teams you thought, maybe. So I'm really happy for Mike Bray. I'm happy for Notre Dame basketball. It is sort of the overlooked child in the Notre Dame family sometimes, and I think that this gives them reason to say, you know, it's been the first time in 36 years, certainly, that they've been this far, but it speaks to just how quickly they've assimilated that program into the ACC and the kind of job Mike Bray has done recruiting.
As a guy in sports, this is something that fascinates me. Are you interested in seeing Kentucky go all the way just for the story that exists because the perfect season happens so infrequently? Or would you like to see, you know, a team like Notre Dame with local ties win the championship?
I'd like to see, we don't root necessarily. Right now, at this point, I think the better story is if Kentucky gets beat, only because I don't think many people expect it. So I think that's the kind of story that's a little bit more difficult to put into context, because we've spent the last 2 months putting into context what it would mean for them to be unbeaten. So I kind of like the unexpected, and that would certainly be unexpected. I would love to be in Cleveland tomorrow night, and I'm headed there in the morning, and say, okay, how am I going to explain what just happened in front of me when Notre Dame hit a last-second shot to beat Kentucky? I mean, that would be a tremendous deadline problem to have, because that's the greatest story of the tournament so far, it would be. So I guess, every day is different, every tournament is different, but I think today I'd say that the best story would be Kentucky getting beat.
Hey, David, I think your co-host here has a new animal in the family. Are you aware? Have you seen Cap out there? He's cinnamon
yes,
something.
Carm, yes, Carm. As you know, and probably everybody else, Cap and I are at the same hotel. So we have run into each other on occasion. I've seen him at the Cubs camp the last couple of days. I have not been – I kind of lose track of him once he goes to get the limo for Chris Bryant and picks him up at the clubhouse door. Once he gives us his chauffeuring duties, I kind of lose track. I am aware that he's getting an animal tomorrow. I'm going to South Bend to get a new dog. We had that discussion, and I just hope that Cap drives safely. I'm looking forward to seeing him here in a couple minutes, but he's been a busy guy.
Does he really think he's on the team at this point? Because he was on yesterday, and I was pretty certain that he actually thinks he's a member of the Cubs.
Well, the thing is, Carm, it's very impressive to see Cap change out of his Cub pinstripe uniform and get into his TV gear, because that happens. You know, it's like it's out of costume because they saved him a double zero jersey, so he changes out of his Cub uniform goes into his Comcast gear, goes on camera. Nobody really knows that he was just kind of, you know, fetching baseballs for Bryant and Almora and the rookie crew.
Well, you know, we saw Edwin Jackson get lost trying to find a facility the other day. Does Cap know how to get to Camelback Ranch?
You know, that's a good one. I know. When I told him the other day that I was actually going to, you know, sit down with Micah Johnson, and he said, who? I thought that was pretty bad. So I'm not sure. I'm probably, when I see him today, I'll ask him how much time he actually spent in Glendale, and he'll probably, you know, that oddly doesn't register on his GPS. But we'll talk about it Monday when we're both back in studio.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
And thanks for you guys filling in all week. Did a great job.
I appreciate it, David. I'm sure the stories on Monday will be great. So looking forward to having you back. Have a good day.
Thanks, guys.
All right, David Haw, he's back on Monday. It's Cap and Haw, Adam Hogue, Jen Latta filling in, and we'll get some phone calls next. Let's get something going there. 312-235-2525. Continue some of the conversation. Actually, I have a little baseball I want to get to as well with today. There's just an interesting tweak with the lineup. We talk about Joe Maddon, some of the things he might do. I find it interesting. Adam Hogue, Jen Latta, it's Cap and Haw.
Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
Adam Hogue, Jen Latta filling in another 40 minutes or so as we wrap up the week. Cap and Haw are back next week on Monday. We're just talking to David Haw, who's out in spring training. Those stories should be pretty good, I'm sure, on Monday. Got into it a little bit with him. You know, one of the, maybe the highlight of spring training so far this month has been the day that Will Ferrell played for 10 different teams in 5 different games. And part of that, I know he did that for charity, and there's going to be an HBO special, I believe, on it, and I can't wait to see it. I think Will Ferrell is hilarious. I was talking about this last month when the Saturday Night Live 40-year thing came out, and the Rolling Stone ranked all the cast members, and I think Will Ferrell was 12th. I thought that was way, way, way too low. I think he's at least top 5. And so I love everything I shouldn't say I love everything he does, but I always give him a chance. They've been promoting this movie, Get Hard, forever. I mean, you think about going back to the Super Bowl. They were at the Super Bowl. They were on Jimmy Fallon that night promoting this movie. It goes. They've been showing promos for it on TV, even going back before that. So then I look at the Tribune this morning because the movie comes out today. Michael Phillips review in the Chicago Tribune, 1 star. After all that,
yeah, I'm on Rotten Tomatoes right now, a movie review site. 32% are saying splat.
Oh, well. Does that mean more people like it?
Let me take a look.
I'm a little uncomfortable with the name of the movie, I'm going to be honest.
It's getting a 4.3 out of 10 rating.
Yikes.
I mean, seriously, how do you go around and like say to, like, one of them is you want to go with your folks? Hey, you want to go see Get Hard?
You just don't. That's not a movie you go see with your folks.
Okay, what happens with your buddies? It's just weird. Am I wrong? Latta's looking very uncomfortable.
Yes, which doesn't happen often, but...
I mean, why would you name the movie that?
Because it's Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart.
Look, you know the premise of the movie, right?
No.
I think Will Ferrell's busted for some white...
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Yeah. You don't know the premise of a movie that has been literally in, like, every commercial break of every single thing on TV for the last 5 months. Movie has ever been promoted harder than this,
I'm a sports
no
fan.
No pun intended.
Yeah, I'm a sports fan. During commercials, I'm on Twitter. It slipped through.
These guys have been on SportsCenter, the Super Bowl. They were...
And I think earlier you were alluding to the fact that the baseball thing, while with good intention,
also getting Will Ferrell out there. I mean, at least his face. I don't know if he mentioned the movie at all in that, but you know, he's been readily available everywhere.
I love Will Ferrell. I'll probably... I don't see that. This is probably not in the theater for me. This is at best late night somewhere on some cable moment in time, but no.
I will say this. There is a school of thought that says the more you see them promoting the film, the more it needs
it.
You know,
you wonder,
some of these films sell themselves, right? And you would think that you wouldn't need these guys out there shilling for, but that, like you said, you turn around in the morning, there they are. You go to bed at night, there they are. This one says, a waste of two fine funny men. Get Hard settles for tired and offensive gags instead of tapping into its premises boundary pushing potential.
See,
all right, can I, here's the thing. I have a feeling that I'm still going to like this movie.
Are you into dumb humor? Certain people just love a dumb humor.
I have this thing where I can totally admit a movie is horrible.
But you enjoy it?
And yet be like, I loved it.
Like what?
Now you're putting me on the spot. What's a good example of something I watched recently?
I mean, like...
This is the End. Have you seen This is the End? Where, like, James Franco, Seth Rogen, they all play themselves in Apocalypse. Yeah. Apocalypse hits L.A. They're at a party, and they all play themselves throughout the movie. And, look, it is, like, one of the dumbest premises of all time. Like, aliens are invading the world, and these celebrities are playing themselves.
But here,
A lot of it's stupid. That movie is phenomenal.
71% of the audience liked it. 83% say this was a fresh... It got 83% on the tomato meter, an average rating of 7.1. So no, to your argument, this is one that many people enjoyed.
The tomato...
may have been dumb, but many people enjoyed it.
Right. See, I think I'm going to like this movie.
Tomato meter at the end of the day is all that really matters.
Tomato meter.
This is a highly successful website when it comes to ranking movie potential. Oh. Hey, do you know that if you want to see Kevin Hart in Chicago, because he's got two showings in July, like the 30th, tickets start at $90 for upper level, $831 for floor seats.
Wow.
Are these secondhand? Like, is it already sold out?
I'm on Vivid
Seats. Isn't he at the United Center?
This is the United Center.
I'm surprised Kevin Hart can sell at the United Center. Should I not be?
It's showing me that right in front of the stage, it's $800. Maybe this is a secondary market. I'm guessing it is. $831. I'm looking at $627. I mean, it's going to be on HBO or on Comedy Central in a year or so, right?
Yeah.
That to me seems like...
Oh, the special. The special. Yeah, I thought you were talking about the movie.
That to me seems like a ridiculous waste of money.
People just need to laugh. We're just so pent up around.
I love laughing.
Right?
My wife...
I'll pay 8:30 to sit front row just so I can just laugh. By the way,
my wife hates movies like this. We cannot watch movies like this together.
I don't know what Jen's
I'm laughing because he said, I love laughing.
Laughing's great. How can you not like laughing?
Somebody on the text line is saying, have
like
you seen...
like saying I don't like oxygen.
I need
have
to
laugh.
Have
you seen Sharknado?
Oh, yeah, but that's like a whole nother level of...
Oh, I'm
horrible.
Sorry. There are levels to your stupid movies.
First time I saw Anchorman, I thought it was beyond moronic. Now I can watch it anytime it's on. Same thing with Napoleon Dynamite.
There's a perfect example. Everyone thought Anchorman 2 was horrible.
Terrible. Awful.
I thought it was fine. I still laughed. I was like, yeah, look, it's basically the same movie. They went for every cheap laugh they possibly could. And guess what? I laughed.
I'm going H squared for you from now on. You're Happy Hogue. You're just a Happy Hogue.
I'm cool with that nickname.
I think it's a great one.
Just don't accidentally forget the G.
I mentioned a little bit of baseball talk I do want to get to. We'll do that next. 312-235-2525. Adam Hogue, Jen Latta filling in on Cap and Hall. Adam Hogue, Jen Latta here on Cap and Hall. Wrapping up the week. It's been a fun week. I've had a lot of fun with you, Jen.
Yes, well.
No, it's been fun. It's been an interesting
week,
man.
It has been
a really interesting
week. It's definitely covered the spectrum.
We have seen a lot. The just sort of regular college basketball time of year stuff, and then the Ray McDonald signing, some other things that have gone down this week. It's just been... it's been a lot of fun, and it's been fun being here every day. Still got a half hour here left to get to some of the things we've missed. And, you know, I don't know why. Maybe it's just because we're getting closer to opening day. But I'm excited for this game today between the Cubs and the White Sox. You get them playing each other. It's on TV. You can see it on Comcast Sportsnet at 3 o'clock. And, you know, hopefully you'll see... the guys that you're going to want to see. I'm looking at the Cubs lineup, though, and I am not seeing Chris Bryant. So that's a little disappointing. But I did notice that Joe Maddon's got Jason Hamill batting eighth in the lineup. Now, I know this is something he's discussed before, and it's not the first time it's been done in baseball. I don't think it's been the first time he's done it this spring training. But that idea always fascinates me, and I like – first of all, I'm one of those people that thinks there should be a DH in both leagues. But I like playing around with the pitcher spot and not just always batting him ninth. And I like the idea of even like the White Sox are probably going to have it this year if Michael Johnson makes the team. You're going to have him at the bottom of the order and then it flips over and you got Adam Eaton. I think that's always beneficial to have speedy guys like that, not an automatic out.
No, absolutely. I think I was reading that research has shown that it's worth about 5 to 15 runs over the course of a season. When you start breaking down some of those games.
Not batting the pitcher ninth?
In the eighth position, yeah.
Okay.
Putting him in the eighth position. I don't think Maddon's going to do it with every pitcher. I think there are certain guys that it works for. But I always find that those little nuances, those little changes in baseball, I appreciate. Because so much of that sport and the way that it is still run is based in tradition. Deep-seated in tradition, right? Like, well, we've always done it this way. That's how we're always going to do it. So I always like it when these guys roll in. And not saying he's the first to have done it. He certainly isn't. But it's just a reminder that the game can always benefit from some tweaking.
That's interesting that there's actually numbers behind it that say that you will score more if you bat the pitcher eighth and that no one really has done it. I mean, La Russa did it for a little bit, gone back and forth, but no one's committed to doing it. That there's numbers behind it, that makes it more, that you're putting some data behind it, that makes me even more interested. And I, you got to trust Joe Maddon, right, end of the day. Whatever that guy does, we're going to believe in. If he throws a lefty against a righty, righty, lefty, whatever Joe Maddon
at
does.
At least for now, he has the benefit of the doubt.
Right? I mean, you have to believe in Joe Maddon.
Well, we just talked to David Hall a little bit, and he, one of the things he said was, you know, there's been so much focus this offseason on Joe Maddon's personality and how great it is and refreshing new ideas, but he made it very clear, too, that he expects to win games.
Well, he went closed-door meeting with Edwin Jackson, and that probably was not very pleasant for Edwin.
Do you think they were just working on, like, which app he should use to find his way to the stadium? You know, maybe go a different route. Maybe the Apple Maps not as reliable as Google Maps or vice versa.
That, and do you realize how bad you've been the last 2 years? Do you want to be here at all? Do you know how much money we're paying you? You can't figure out where the stadium is, the rest of your teammates did? Are you kidding? I mean, that's some serious unacceptable stuff right there.
Oh, it's ridiculous. We talked about this yesterday. I mean, you're in the battle for the fifth starter spot. You can't get to the game. That should be it.
But I think what's more interesting of that is, look, we saw a guy with Mark Trestman who wanted to be everybody's buddy, just didn't really have the personality to make it work. Maddon has shown that not only can he be your buddy, but he can also be that authority figure who, you know, when it's time to put up or shut up, I think he's going to get in a guy's face. And maybe not in the traditional way, you know, maybe not in the Mike Ditka, here's my mustache and my spittle on your face type of way, but in a way that will motivate guys to be better. So it's always fascinating to see how all of these personalities work, because that's something we've heard about Maddon. Oh, guys love him. But they love him because they also get the best out of them.
That's a great point, Jen. I mean, to compare it to Trestman, the way he handled the Lance Briggs thing at the beginning of the season. Oh, it's the first practice of the year. After you finalize a 53-man roster and Lance Briggs is out in California opening a restaurant.
Yeah, no.
And no discipline whatsoever. And here a guy misses a start, which is both of them are ridiculous in my opinion. And you see the manager take charge and actually discipline him. It's good. 312-235-2525. Wayne is in McChesney Park. Hi, Wayne.
Hi. Great show, you guys.
Thank you.
Hey, I actually taped ESPN last night because I was watching college basketball, but then I went back to the Cubs. Did anybody happen to see the interview that Curt Schilling did with Theo last night late?
I didn't see that. Sorry.
That's all right. I thought it was very interesting because Schilling was kind of poo-pooing him about not bringing Bryant to the opening day roster. And Theo said, hey, look, you were with me in Boston. He says, I've never brought a rookie up on opening day. He says, there's too much hoopla. I'd rather let him slide in afterwards. So I thought that was kind of a good comeback, you know, even though I'm not so sure he shouldn't be there on opening day, but I can sure see him not being. So.
Well, Wayne, thank you for the phone call. It's a good point because there is history here that Theo can go back to. And he is right when he says that. And I think there's also some validity both to the idea that, hey, another 2 weeks in the minors can maybe take some pressure off, take away some of that hoopla, as Wayne was just talking about. And also, you know, this guy's defense hasn't been that great.
Yeah, he mentioned Hanley Ramirez and Clay Buchholz and Dustin Pedroia, Jacoby Ellsbury. I mean, huge names that they didn't start on opening day. And Theo, by the way, said the same thing exactly to Cap on the Comcast.
Yeah, actually, we have that right now. Oh, okay. that I think we can play.
As far as when he makes his major league debut, whether he'll be part of this opening day roster, we haven't put together our final roster yet. But you know, I can say this is my 13th time putting a team together at the end of spring training. I've never once put a young prospect on an opening day roster when he had to make his major league debut.
So there you go. I mean, that is a fair point by Theo that I think he can fall back on. So, but it's mostly about the contract. I think if the CBA wasn't involved here, I think maybe this would be the exception. But we don't know that. At least Theo can fall back on it.
Right. It'd be interesting if somebody wants to do a study. Jen, I nominate you to go back through time and see how rookies performed who actually came up on opening day versus those who came up 3 weeks into the season like Theo likes to do. I mean, is Theo advanced here? Has he figured something out that the rest of baseball hasn't figured out? Perhaps he has.
He is Theo, after all. And by the way, you can hear that full interview on csnchicago.com.
I am rejecting your suggestion.
yes, you are.
I'll find an intern that's got some time on their hands.
Jen Landis, just give me the look of...
I, for one, have none.
Have you lost your mind?
We started the show with that, with your green jacket.
Great coat. Love this pin.
Let's sneak Jim in real fast. He's in Arizona before we move on to page two. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I've been a Cub fan for 70 years.
Sorry.
And... so am I, but you can't help it. The first game I saw was a World Series game in 1945. See if you can remember that.
Nope.
I remember it vividly.
Detroit. I do, too. They won, and then they lost four straight.
Of course they did.
But my comment is, you get a guy like Bryant, and the guy is out of this world. It's like, you know, like, here comes a new messiah. And you don't put him in the lineup. You send him down to the minors or whatever the hell they're going to do with him. And it's just driving us nuts out here. We want the guy. Get him in there. To hell with what, if he falls on his face in the outfield, whatever.
Jim, you've waited so long for the Cubs to be a contender again and sniff the World Series. Can you wait the 9 games? If it means another year.
I'm just tired of saying wait till next year.
How's the health,
well,
Jim?
I appreciate that.
You sound like you've got everything going on for you. You're good for another 10 years. They're going to get it done, Jim.
Oh, yeah. I'm good for another 20. The doctor said I'd live to be 100 if I didn't die first.
All right. Thanks for the phone call, Jim. Yeah, Jim doesn't care about 2020, 2022, whatever it is. He wants now. He wants the Cubs to win now.
Jen put 9 games out there, and he was like, no.
No way.
Can't do it.
Can't do 9
games. Not interested.
Games.
Hey, did you guys see the Bears made a signing?
I did. It just came across. Alan Ball.
Yep, just came across the wire.
Cornerback.
Former University of Illinois cornerback. Spent some time with the Cowboys, the Texans, the Jaguars, but I think we know that they were still in the market for that cornerback, defensive back position. Now let's just shore up the center, because I think that was another thing that they're still kind of sniffing around.
When you Google Alan Ball, he falls behind on the list to Alan Ball, a screenwriter.
I'm very excited about his 14 pass deflections.
I'm just saying, I mean, you know, you can always tell right away with a football player if you Google their name, where you know, if there's any other Alan Balls out there that rank ahead of you in the Google search.
The A-Ball, the A-Train, old school.
All right, that's enough. He did play college football at Illinois.
ILL.
Jesus.
I can tell you guys are super... I just spit. I can tell you guys are super excited about that signing. Hey, the good news is the Bears...
I hope we got that on tape, by the way. It can bring it back in slow motion.
The good news is the Bears are still in these conversations. They're still making moves. They're still trying to bolster the roster, I think. You know, for them to be like, well... we're done.
Well, they have like 30 more roster spots, so I hope they're working on this.
Absolutely, and they're going to obviously have some success in the draft, hopefully, start getting that mentality going where they draft well, keep their own players.
That's a big hope.
Bicep injury last year for A-ball.
I mean, we were just talking about the Cubs in World Series. I feel like me saying that they hit on guys in the draft is not that far-fetched.
What's more likely, Cubs win a World Series or the Bears draft?
Cap just came back into the studio. Go ahead.
Four players. Is this considered a capothetical? Four players that turn out to be, I don't know, four-year starters.
Capothetical.
I got another one for you. More likely, Sox to the playoffs or Bears trade their sixth-round pick.
Sixth-round pick. I thought you were talking about their first-round pick, which is seventh.
Capothetical. Yes, I was trying to be ridiculous.
you succeeded. You definitely succeeded. Can Kentucky beat the Chicago Cubs?
More likely, my dog shows up at South Bend, or I also adopt a duck.
Sounds like we're all in agreement, or at least you guys are in agreement, that Kentucky can beat the newest Bear.
Yes, I think I'll take Kentucky over Alan Ball.
You know, we've not even been on the grass yet.
I bet.
Why are we getting slap happy? What is this?
Because it's Friday. It's the end of our Friday show. It's the end of a hard week. Carmen came in here with a green jacket with a pin on it and a Tribune guest pass.
We just discussed.
I'm
going to stop.
All right, let's get to page two. We'll do that next. There are plenty of other stories, including one, Jen, I know you want to get to, which involves one of the greatest college basketball coaches of all time doing something phenomenal for his former players. We'll do that next. It's Adam Hogan, Jen Latta filling in here on Cap and Haw, wrapping up the week next with the circus music. Nicely played, Mike.
Mitchell Winkleman's asking me on Twitter, what is At The Carm wearing? Bum school, what's with the sport coat? N Todd, At The Carm, I-N-I, love you. Sorry.
You do wear a woman's jacket very well, Mark. It looks phenomenal. All right, more Cap and Haw next.
We're desperate for stories, and this one is so compelling.
This is page two.
Wrapping up the week here on Cap and Haw. Still trying to figure out what the heck Carmen is wearing. And our production room has brought up another good point that I didn't even notice. I don't know if it's because of just what's blocking here, but your buttons.
It's a good button.
They don't even,
Jen,
add up. Like, what's going on there?
It looks weird, but I think it's cool. I guess
I've
never
noticed that before.
You got two up top.
I go with the 2-1-2-er.
The 2-1-2 defense on the shirt?
The 2-1-2 matchup zone concoction Bucky.
Look, there's not a lot of ways to vary up a dress shirt, so I appreciate the ambition.
See?
Mike Jacobson with a great line.
It's way better, in my opinion, than the white collar.
Bad white collar?
The shirt that's colored with the white collar.
Oh, yeah. I got one of those, too.
I bet you do.
Been wearing it since.
Jim Boeheim loves your zone defense shirt.
Been wearing that since 78.
That was Mike's. So if you loved it, it's Mike's. If you hated it, it's Mike's. let's get to page two, some of the stories we have not gotten to. Did you see who's performing on opening day at Wrigley Field?
I did.
4:30? On the field, 5:30, something like that.
Fallout Boy is set to perform on opening day. It's Cubs Cardinals at Wrigley, only a week away. Well, a little over a week. So next Sunday, April 5th. And, you know, I don't hate. Here's how I am about Fallout Boy. Indifferent. I like some of their songs.
They've really got the market, though, on that sports anthem, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They have figured that out. I don't know if they get royalties anytime a television show or certainly when a commercial does, but if you make a sports montage to one of their songs, I'm betting that they get some type of royalties on that.
You got to pay for that.
It's a good niche for them.
I still think there's like a 3% chance the stadium's just not open. Have you been like the still?
People show up and go, sorry, folks, we're closed, like Wally World.
I mean, there's a fence around the whole thing. Like, really?
It's you all said good. It at 3%. Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't look even a tenth ready for bringing 30,000 people minus the bleachers.
Well, there was a story yesterday, right, in the Sun Times that Tom Ricketts said it's going to take another year
down to
before everything's done.
Just keeps on adding on. Just, yeah. At this point, it's almost like, go play somewhere else for a year.
And there are people I've heard in the city that are saying, I hope it's a beautiful day. I hope it's just gorgeous. And then the one blemish on the day is the stadium. Those people, not Cubs fans, people who don't want the Cubs to have success.
Well, I mean, who needs seats? You don't actually need seats. You can just put them, sit out there on the construction beams.
Fallout
sell tickets. Maybe you can let them in for $5. Have Fallout Boy perform out there.
And Fallout Boy has Chicago ties, right? Are they based?
Yes.
They were based in Chicago. I think their drummer is from the Milwaukee suburbs as well. So
it is a Chicago band. At least it's been. Yeah, it's been. Mm-hmm. It's a Chicago band.
Last I looked, it's going to be 39 degrees, and it's a night game.
All right. It's 10 days away. Might change.
Yes.
You seen the weather this week?
There is a great chance of changing, but 39 cold.
Jen Latta has spit and snorted in the last 10 minutes of this program.
It's been a good hour.
New levels.
We've had a good 11 o'clock hour.
Caca?
Where's the caca?
We're going no caca here.
Thank you. This is just one of the best stories you've seen all week. And if you needed any more evidence that Dean Smith was just the man.
Yes.
Did you hear what he did?
He is the man. You're right.
He died earlier this year. At the age of 83, in his will, he left $200 to each of his former players. They all received a letter that said, to enjoy a dinner out, compliments of Coach Dean Smith. And they got a check, I think, from his estate.
Yes.
That is just the most BA move ever. I don't think I can say bad A on the air, so I always say BA. But that is so cool.
I thought Carmen had a phenomenal tweet on this. Do you want to share?
Oh yeah,
because didn't one of the players one of the players said he wasn't going to cash the check?
Yeah, Brad Doherty not going to cash the check. I'm like, dude, take the photo and you can deposit it. This is not 1978.
Photo deposit, keep the check, frame it.
You don't have
keep
to
keep the money. Go out to dinner.
Very good point,
Brad Doherty. What's wrong with you, dude? Come on, Chase has got that going. Who's your bank?
Okay, who? If you got a check from somebody, who would you keep? If you got a check from
no one.
Okay, when I got my first check from NBC Universal when I started working for Comcast, that was cool. It had the little peacock in the corner.
You kept it?
No, I deposited my paycheck, let's be clear.
Okay.
But I kept the actual check and stuck it in a file. Like, I deposited it electronically, as you suggested.
Isn't that beautiful? I think that's great. You always will have it.
Yeah.
I wish I had that foresight.
That's pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of.
I'm serious. I think that's awesome.
I feel like there's some judging going on.
No, I'm not judging.
Caca.
All right, so this is a polling website, publicpolicypolling.com. And it says the state of Florida does not like their own teams. It says Florida's Major League Baseball teams continue to lag in popularity, even in their home state. The two most popular baseball teams in Florida are, can you guess?
The Yankees.
Yankees
are
one of them.
Up there?
Yankees are one of them, but not the most popular. And it's not the
Atlanta.
Cubs.
Atlanta. It's got to be.
It's Atlanta. It's the Braves. Then they're followed by the Marlins and the Rays. Red Sox are at 8% behind the Rays.
I thought the Red Sox would be higher.
And the Cubs are at 6%.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Florida is a transplant state, right? That's why their sports teams always pull so poorly. Because people don't have a vested interest. You're fans of wherever you lived before you lived in Florida.
Which is part of me why baseball, they're at the beginning. You don't deserve a team. And, of course, then they went on to beat the Cubs in 2003. And seven Marlins fans jumped up and down in the dugout.
And have since then gathered good teams and sold them off. And gathered good teams and sold them off.
And won World Series.
Like
it's just ridiculous.
If you're like one of the few people actually were loving the Rays,
like
think
Dick
about
Vitale.
Dick Vitale is a Rays fan.
Dave Wills is the only Rays fan.
How are you dealing with this offseason? Because you lost your general manager to the Dodgers, and then Joe Maddon up and leaves. You didn't even know that was a possibility when the season ended.
Yeah, you got to feel like you're done forever.
I mean, I would become a Braves fan too.
Might even go, you know.
Or just be a Cubs fan.
Nationals.
If Joe Maddon's your guy.
I'm out.
You're going Nationals? We got time for one more?
According to new Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred, Alex Rodriguez ought to be welcomed back by baseball. Of course, the 39-year-old suspended for the entire 2014 season due to his biogenesis scandal involvement. Are we here? Are we to the place where we are just welcoming back?
Well, he's considering Pete Rose, too.
Okay, well, that was going to be my next point. So,
if you're going to... I mean, I know you sort of have to welcome back Alex Rodriguez because it's not like he's been banned from baseball and he's under contract, but... I mean, if you're going to go Alex Rodriguez.
Hey, look, there's a whole portion of the baseball-loving population that thinks Pete Rose should be brought back into baseball, that it was an unfair ostracizing.
It's an interesting conversation. Carmen, love the jacket.
Thanks, guys.
Love the buttons. Jen, it's been a lot of fun this week.
You guys did a phenomenal job, and thank you for having me. I'm putting you guys
out
there.
Except for that one guy on the Twitter, on the text line that called me a glorified cheerleader.
Oh, God.
Thanks, pal. But beyond that, things went well.
You did a great job, Jen. It's been fun. If you want to listen to our weekend radio show, it's on WGN Radio 3 to 6 o'clock tomorrow and also on Sunday. I'm Adam Hogue, Jen Latta, Cap'n Hall back on Monday.
See
All right. Well, see you later.